Herzlich willkommen zum Zahngesundheitssymposium. Welcome to the Dental Health Summit. I have today an expert from England, Dr. Anna Vilas-Boas-Sosa-Sewald from Hove, East Sussex. She's the nutritional dentist. And Anna, I'm so blessed to have you here on board.
Thank you, Maria.
Lovely. What are you doing? You are having like on your homepage, you're working nutritional level is important to you, safe biocompatible materials, and you have a holistic ethical approach. And you've mastered homeopathy and nutrition and like very interesting.
Well, thank you, Maria, for inviting me. That's really, really very interesting. You did come to me to ask me about what I do and how is my approach for dental health. And I do try my best to have an holistic approach with my patients and making them be really aware that diet is one of the best tools to promote oral health and general health.
Yes. So, I mean, I guess you went through average dental medical school. So what brought you to this holistic approach?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I had dental studies in Portugal and Spain. And then it was my own health issues and having my children that made me be more and more aware of the anything can contribute for poor health and made me go for finding a solution, not only relying on the mainstream where you need to take a drug for every problem. And that's what made me realize the power of food. So I used to suffer a lot from mouth ulcers, the common Hafta problem, and it was on that path of searching for a reason why I was suffering so much from that problem that made me discover of the power of food, and on that case was actually the problem of eating too much gluten. So I have a sensitivity to gluten. Throughout years, I realized that it wasn't only the gluten problem. I was probably So that problem started pretty much to worsen after I had my children. And that's a common thing. You see many women that after having children is like the health suddenly collapse. And that's when I start to work on finding what was the problem. And I start to give nutritious food to myself. I did see a huge improvement on my own health. And obviously it was my children as well. I wanted the best for them. So it was really trying to find out what could I do to support their health. And on that time, there were children that were healthy, but they were constantly with colds. So I was always thinking, well, what can I do to improve that? It can't be that they are obviously living in England. It can be a challenge because of the cold and humid weather. But the truth is now is that it's very rarely they are unwell, and when they are unwell, they just recover very quick. So it is, I think you can see that as a good example of the power of food, and not only food and lifestyle. So sleep, exercise, trying to have a clean lifestyle, that's extremely important.
So what's really interesting is that you mentioned gluten, and I mean, more and more people are aware that gluten might not be good for their health. Many people think, okay, gluten is disrupting somehow their intestine. But you mentioned gluten regarding the mouth ulcers.
Yeah.
So how do you make a connection? Can you just explain about it? Because many people might have a similar issue.
Yeah, that's true, but I think it's really important. So there are enough studies making the link with gluten and leaky guts, and that will disrupt your immune system. But I think what is extremely important to know is that I see often patients that are already gluten-free and they are still not on the full potential of their IOLs. They still have chronic problems. So that's when you need to think that it's not only the gluten, okay? And you see many patients that come to me and they are gluten-free, but they go for the gluten-free options that are still far too processed. So there is still quite a lot of grains on their diet and they are still missing quite a lot of nutrient-dense foods. So I think you need to look for what is the best fuel for your body. So, and when you make that switch of not relying so much in a high carb diet, but going, relying much more in the good fats, that's when suddenly you start to see the difference. So it's not only going about gluten, and yes, not everybody's sensitive to gluten. So they may can choose healthy, no processed forms of gluten. So, well, you are in Germany. Germany has probably the most variety of bread in the whole world. And there are some healthier options. You can go for good sourdough bread, much more protein-based bread. So I don't think you need to cut completely the gluten. It depends where is your health, to be honest. So some patients, they need that approach that you need to have a radical cut where if you want to see a difference on their health. Other people may be going for a slightly more healthier option. That's enough.
How important is like the grains and the cereal are one portion. So what about like other options? What about fruits? How important is fruit? How important are the vegetables?
Well, definitely very, very important, especially the vegetables. So that will be on the base of my pyramid for good eating, okay? So when I do talk with my patients, I try that they understand that half of their plate should be vegetables, especially if it's the green color. That's the very, very protective one. But you should go for the whole spectrum of colors, for the orange, for the red, for the green, and so on. The problem of the grains is they are extremely rich in lectins and phytic acid, that they work as anti-nutrients and they will compete with important nutrients that are important for your oral health and general health, okay? So that's why I say for some patients, they may benefit of cutting completely the grains, especially if they are already having a chronic problem, yeah? The ones that are still luckily on the full health, they still benefit of trying to reduce this lectin content, and that's where you need to tell them how they should prepare food, okay? So they need to soak their pulse, like beans and lentils and so on, because that will reduce the lectin and the phytic acid content. They need to cook it well. They can ferment it food. They can sprout food. So soaking is probably the first thing you should do, and it will really help to reduce these anti-nutrients concentration. Yeah. So as I said, I do have this conversation one-to-one to patients and see how much I can support them. But making them be aware that too many grains is something actually is not very beneficial for our health. And that's what you've been assisting is that people that have high grain diet are the ones that will be experiencing more and more health problems.
This is a good point that you're addressing that, because for most most dentists, this is like, okay, cut the sugar out.
No, it's not only the sugar.
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. No. The sugar is a problem, is a toxin. It's probably number one reason of many, many problems, but it's not only the sugar. So you still need sugar in your diet, but you should go for the healthier options. And then obviously it's talking as well about all the, because you really should try to eat clean. Yeah. So trying to go for organic options that are much less, have much less pesticides content, and they will be much more nutrient dense. Because unfortunately farmers now, not everybody luckily, but a lot of them, they don't really respect the soils, and the soils start to be depleted. So there are some people that really think they eat well, do their best, but the foods are not so nutrient dense like they used to be because the soils are depleted. That's where probably supplements can help a little bit to top up some crucial nutrients like the vitamin soluble that are extremely important for dental health. So the vitamin D, you do see a chronic epidemic of vitamin D deficiency. Yes. So lots of children have teeth problems, or where you see a predisposition for decay, or the enamel has abnormalities because it's crumbling. It's totally related as well with the chronic vitamin D deficiency that can run in families. So there could be a genetic predisposition to not absorb that well, this vitamin D.
One point about talking about children, I like on your homepage when you write, children's dental health begin with a pregnancy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if mother has a good diet and lifestyle, and that's where it's extremely important to, it's not only about diet, it's about the stress, lifestyle. So a pregnancy that is exempt of traumas and it was full nourished, the potential of having a child that will have no problems, it's much higher, basically.
One point about nutrition is the microwave. Like, the funny thing is, putting their like vegetables in the microwave just quickly. Everything is heated up with the microwave.
Yeah, it is a problem, I think. Yeah, it's because families want the easy solution, isn't it? And there is some evidence to understand that microwave actually may not give the full potential of, you may be cutting or reducing lots of the nutrients just because you are using the microwave. So trying to use more other ways of cooking, like, the steam. Steam is definitely probably the one of the best ways of cooking and preserving the nutrients. But this is a conversation you need to be a bit careful because everybody's running out of time. It's running out of time. Everybody's stress has all activities, work-related, children-related, and you are just always with a schedule and just running late for everything. So this is a conversation you need to have with families where you introduce slowly this awareness that cooking well is actually extremely important, but you need time. So the best thing, I think, is you need to plan in advance. Mm-hmm. Don't be with the left on the situation that you need to find a quick fix, mm-hmm. but you still can have healthy things. So I would prefer that I have some scrambled eggs with some vegetables on the side or some salad that is as quick than putting something that is already made and putting on a microwave. You see, so these quick things, or you can have a broth or a soup made with a broth that was done maybe on the weekend and you can use it throughout the week.
I lived in England before. And I know, like, this typical breakfast, which is might be milk and cereal, or it might be just a toast with jam, and this is a sandwich during the day, and there comes the fish and chips and french fries and all that stuff. And how do you get people to have, like, I guess this is like the traditional English diet, which might be on many countries, like, similar. How do you start them to move from A to B in a way where children are coming together with them?
Yeah, it can be quite challenging because cereals is the quick fix, isn't it? It's just very easy. You just pop it on the bowl, a bit of milk, and that's it. And obviously, it's very high in sugar, very low in nutrition. Mm-hmm. I do try that they start to have some fruits, eventually vegetables, like some carrots, mm-hmm. at breakfast already. So trying to introduce color and variety, okay? The problem is a lot of children are fussy eaters. So I try that the moms start to do smoothies, for example. I think smoothies is a plus because you can put quite a lot of vegetables and you can maybe hide some broccoli, some spinach, some kale on the, always use as a base an avocado as well, because that's the good fats, will give good energy. And try to introduce color with some frozen berries, because obviously you don't have berries throughout the year here. And that's already like a nice way of starting the day and giving them some nutrients that will keep them up. I want to say, Marie, as well, that is not only about having the right choice of food, but as well is about the right consistency. And this is a conversation I have every time I see a family with children, okay? Children at the moment have far too much soft diets. They don't promote the chewing. And that's extremely important for the maxillary development. So I do ask that they give crunchy foods to my children, to the children. Okay. So I do ask that they give lots of crudites like carrot sticks, celery sticks. I ask them for some nuts. I ask them to give for the ones that are not vegetarians that they have some steaks, because this will all help to promote maxillary development. Okay. Because you do see quite a lot of children with problems of space and they end up having crooked teeth. And it's very much related because of soft diet. So I try to have this conversation not only about eating the right things, but giving the right consistency as well.
Yes.
So raw things are important for children.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a problem because they are far not used. They are used to have this soft consistency since they were babies. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really experience the texture. And that's extremely important.
Do you have an idea for healthy, tooth-friendly snacks for kids?
Yes, absolutely. I do. It can be a problem here in this country because nuts are kind of my very good friends, and it's something you always will find at my house. But unfortunately, you need to see the whole context, but quite a lot of schools in England, they are nut free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, a healthy snack will definitely be some berries or apples and some nuts. Or some almond butter with some apples and berries. Or some carrots and celery sticks with some hummus. So you would have always a source of protein, good fats, and then you would have as well the fruits and the vegetables. So that's an example. You can have some patties as well. So like imagine some cakes where you can use some healthy flours, gluten-free or not, but more high protein and less carbs. And then you can put some vegetables in the middle, can put some carrots, you can put some broccoli, you can do a good mix, and then you do like a pancake. So that's easy to take to school and eat, or, yeah?
Mm-hmm. For example, when children or even adults come to you and they have like cavities or just start at the beginning, they have some slight cavities. Do you have the experience that, for example, if they say, oh, no, they don't want to have some invasive work, let's do it all with nutrition. Is there a way?
Yes, I do have some families that come to me with that. And it totally depends how invasive is already that cavity, how big is the decay. So I need to decide that one to one. But I have had children that were in the beginning of having decay, and parents are starting to be very aware of diet and the power of diet. And I do say, okay, let's give it a go. But I need commitment, and that's where you need to be committed. And with children, it's not easy because they may eat well at home, but then, you know, they go for parties, they go, they just go for play dates at a friend's house or whatever, and then they will be exposed to high sugary drinks, fizzy things, and so on. And that's definitely a trigger for decay. So if I can see that commitment, then I will monitor closely these patients. We'll ask them to come every month or every 2 months, and I will check how is the development of decay. And I have reverted some initial decays. Yeah. But as I said, commitment is the key. Mm-hmm. Commitment for good diets. And definitely looking for all the nutrients that may be missing, okay? And that's where vitamin D, it plays a huge role. And I do ask them to take some supplements alongside the good diet. Mm-hmm.
Like when you talk about supplements, about vitamin D, I mean, this is something absolutely obvious for me. We just live in a zone where like almost everybody is deficient in vitamin D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there more nutritions or more points where you say, oh, you might have to take vitamin Z, folic acid? What other nutrition are you looking at?
I'm looking for all the vitamin, the fat soluble vitamins. So will be the D3, K2, vitamin A as well, vitamin E. So you can get that through diets, but sometimes you need a supplement. Vitamin D, I definitely recommend to do it through supplements because you don't get enough sun most of the times. Even on summer, most of the people are in office and so on. Luckily, children have, most of the families are very good taking them to the park and they do get the sun. But the problem is there are a lot of families that have this genetic predisposition to not absorb that well the vitamin D. So they may do well in summertime, but then as soon as the weather starts to be grayer and you just don't get the sunlight, it is really advisable to get the vitamin D supplement. Then obviously it's all the calcium-rich foods, magnesium-rich foods that will, they play an important role as well on the dental health. So you can get, I do tell my patients, please don't rely only on supplements. There is no quick fix here, okay? So diet first, supplements will help to top up that.
So I guess so many viewers, they say, okay, so where can I get calcium from in the diet? Where can I get magnesium from in the diet?
So, well, are you asking how you can
I
do that?
I'm asking you, yes.
Yeah, yes. So the calcium, you obviously can get through dairy. You dairy products, you can get it through vegetables as well. So all the green leaves are very rich in calcium. Obviously, the plant-based ones are more difficult to be absorbed. And again, you need to be aware of the lectin problem. That is the plant paradox that can interfere with the absorption of these important nutrients. So that's why it's really important to try to minimize these lectins, so to maximize the absorption. Yeah. Magnesium, you can get it through nuts, you can get it through all the green leaves as well. It is, interestingly, magnesium, you can get it through skin as well. So Epsom salts is something I do recommend to my patients to do it because it promotes relaxation. So most of the people have stress, so that will help. And you will absorb as well the magnesium. So. Yeah. Yeah, there is another thing is extremely important on diet is the probiotic food, okay, fermented foods, because that will work on your good microbiome that is so, so important for your immune system. So microbiome and fermented foods is something I do talk with my patients as well. It's really important if they don't have portions of fermented foods on a daily basis, they will need a probiotic. And there is enough research at the moment linking problems with lack of bacteria. So, yeah, that's definitely probiotic food. is extremely important. And alongside the probiotic foods, it comes the prebiotic foods, that is all the fiber-rich foods that will feed the good bacteria. And where do we get that? Well, on the plant-based diet, where you get eat a lot of vegetables, especially the ones that are rich in fiber.
Perfect. Do you recommend, like, do you have in England, like, the fermented foods, is it easy to buy, or do you recommend them just do it yourself?
There is a boom now in the markets of healthy things. I think you will save money if you do it yourself.
Yeah.
So in, I do kefir at home. I have offered kefir grains to some of my patients, actually. Again, the ones that are very open to that and they are keen to try. There's other things you can do. You can do kombucha. You can do the sauerkraut. A very German tradition is great. It promotes everything. It has the fiber of the vegetables, and it will have all the fermented, the good bacteria that will definitely boost your immune system and your good health.
Perfect.
So, yes. There is more and more workshops about fermentation here in the UK. So it's just a question of looking. It's usually not far away from you. You can find local place where you can look for these products or learn how to have them at home.
You're watching, like, especially in your dental health work, you're just taking enormous care to use only biocompatible materials. Have you seen a rise in extreme reactions of the clients, like in the last 20 years, that people it's extremely hard to tolerate like non-clean dental material?
Well, this is a bit tricky to answer, because that wouldn't be like blaming the dental materials for the problems, isn't it? Well, I think dental materials will play a component of this problem, but I don't think it's only the dental material. So what I talk with my patients is about toxic loads. Okay. And the many things can be contributing for this toxic load. Dental materials, definitely they will play a role. So if someone that is already, let's say, very toxic, and it has an amalgam filling, amalgamas have mercury, so probably there is a high chance that this mercury will play as well a role on poor health and on these symptoms that the patient may be experiencing already. But mercury is just, you know, it's just one of the things that is quite controversial, because there are still many, many dentists that use it as a very good material because it's so resistant. So if you think on the dental perspective, you may think, oh, amalgam is the ideal dental material. But obviously you need to see it. You need to think out of the box and see it with an holistic perspective. And if it contains mercury and mercury is a toxic, it's a no-brainer to conclude that it's probably not the best thing to put it in your mouth. But this is quite a difficult thing. Anyway, luckily, we are phasing down the amalgam on this country. Okay, so it's not allowed anymore to place it in pregnant women and children. Mm-hmm. And I think it's until 2030, we are trying to completely avoid to use it. So we are on the right path, but it's just taking a bit of time.
Yeah. So just one more about the toxic overload. I mean, there are so many health practitioners, they say, oh, you have an amalgam filling, you have to take this out. But what you're making people aware of, that this is not the only thing that has to be changed. If somebody has a diet which contains of bread and jam and Coke and all that stuff, then that has to be more changed than only the amalgam filling out.
Absolutely. So I have quite a lot of patients coming to me with the illusion that they will remove the amalgam fillings. And I do follow a safe amalgam removal protocol to protect them through the drilling, because that's when you will be highly exposed to the vapors, mercury vapors and the microparticles. But I do try my best to make them understand, look, I'm sure it wasn't only the mercury that was contributing for your poor health, okay? This is only a part of the full picture, okay? And diet is your best tool to regain health. And then I do make them try to be aware of relaxation, really making them understand it's really important to stop and do anything you can to promote this well-being of stop and not being engaged in a chronic stress, because that's a killer. Then lack of sleep, lack of exercise, trying to make them understand the family predisposition to have some problems. Like, for example, if diabetes runs in the family, that means that is a red flag. Maybe you have a very high sensitivity to sugar. So that's where it's even more important to rely less in sugar as a fuel for your, on your diet. Yeah. And then another thing I really like to mention is radiation. Radiation is a silent killer. And we live in a world that we are surrounded with radiation constantly. So I do try to tell them, look, switch off your router before you go to bed. Don't be all the time with your phone next to your head. Just use loudspeakers, or, you know, there are many ways of trying to go on green spaces. Grounding is the best thing you can do to protect from radiation. So just go to the forest, go to the sea, try to have this. That will help you to relax, and it will give you a break from being constantly on, constantly with radiation around you.
That's a very big issue.
Yeah, it is definitely a big, big issue. And not everybody's aware of that, actually.
Yeah. When you're talking about biocompatible materials, I guess you're not using, dental materials, they already contain fluoride. Are you working with fluoride, or you saying this is?
I avoid to use the fluoride. Mm-hmm. Because fluoride is another controversial thing. So fluoride is sold as the best thing you can have in dental schools to protect your teeth. But then they don't talk about all the rest you can do, like diet and so on, isn't it? So you should not only rely on fluoride to have good teeth because of the reasons we have exposed already. Fluoride is actually an endocrine disruptor. So for very susceptible patients, you need to be very careful. And interestingly, I noticed that the high fluorization water areas, because they do put fluoride on water just with the aim of avoiding teeth problems, they actually have noticed that certain patients have more predisposition to have thyroid problems and so on. So GPs have made the link in certain areas here, even in the UK. So I think they are trying to be a bit more cautious of using fluoride. It's again all about the toxic load. If someone is already quite toxic because many things have contributed for this toxic load, fluoride can be the last drop on the glass where suddenly everything overflows and then you start to experience problems. I'm not saying that. I think in very specific situations where you have high sensitivity teeth, you may can use it for a short period of time with very caution. So obviously you should never swallow fluoride. That's not for eating, okay? But I do decide that one-to-one with my patients. And to avoid decay, definitely don't rely only on fluoride. There are many other things. Just help boost your good health with diet and good nutrients that will help not only your teeth, but your bones as well.
Absolutely.
No, there is no quick fix and fluoride will resolve all the problems. No, definitely not.
So when talking about the biocompatible materials, is there something like about the fillings you make? Is there something else what you're looking to avoid? I mean, obviously you're not using amalgam.
Using amalgam. I'm not using imatacrylate fillings as well. So I use BPA-free fillings that, again, are known as hormone disruptors. So there is this big, even dentists are more and more aware, oh, okay, amalgam is bad. You know what? You put a white filling and they have these BPA things and then you will be causing you harm as well. Yes, it is true. It is true. So I try to use the most biocompatible ones that we know at the moment in the market. Okay. Who knows what is going to happen in some years. So at the moment, I quite like to use a brand called Admira Fusion that is BPA free and has some ceramic particles that make it quite stronger and supposedly to be more biocompatible. So again, there's nothing like having your own teeth. Okay, so prevention is your aim. You should try to preserve your teeth as much as you can. To avoid that, you need a filling. But yes, so in fact, you can do some biocompatible tests to find the material sensitivity. But obviously that means extra cost for the patients, but the ones that are open to that, we can explore that option and try to find what is the best material for you. But my first choice is the one that I believe is the less problematic one, and only if a patient would experience problems, then I would suggest for further investigation or really go down that route.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So ideally, you really avoid to do fillings because it's one is a something that is foreigner that doesn't belong to your body that you are putting in your mouth, and you will need to live with that basically.
Do you have like a special like tips about the oral hygiene? Do you think? Okay, do you say oral hygiene is a very
extremely
important?
Extremely important? Obviously, yes. I do talk with my patients about brushing teeth at least twice a day. After breakfast and before they go to bed is the most important times. I do talk about hygiene, interdentally hygiene. So you need to use your floss, you need to use your teepee brush. You even can use water pick or hair floss that helps to clean between your teeth. Regarding the agent to brush, I do brushing demos with my patients. I'll show them how to brush, especially if they use a manual one. If they use an electric one, I do ask them that they use one with a pressure indicator so they are not doing too much, brushing too much their teeth that will cause some erosions. And will lead for sensitivities as well. So it's trying to be mindful on the brushing technique or even using ultrasonic brush. So there is a good one that is German actually called Hemident. Mm-hmm. That is extremely important. It's a quite good solution for patients that have already quite a lot of sensitivities because it's very mild and it really protects all the enamel structure. Then as well is about the agent you use to brush your teeth. And what I really try to make my patients be aware is that you should not use toothpaste that have too many foaming agents because these are chemicals and it will actually disrupt your microbiome. And not only that, it's toxic and it's actually, there's a good link with foaming agents like the SLS and all these things. And they can cause mouth ulcers. So they are very irritant.
So you're talking about sodium lauryl sulfate?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So if you go for a preservative-free toothpaste, it's much more oral friendly than actually using one full of chemicals. You may taste better, but it's definitely not good for you.
So what are you recommending, like, clients who want, like, the perfect pearly white teeth? I mean, there are these toothpastes, like, they have, like, particles in, they're just...
Yeah. Well, I do ask them that the ones that want to use some whitening agent, I can tell them to use some bicarbonate mixture that they can use it, but not regularly and not definitely not every day because it's far too abrasive. So you need to decide one to one. Not everybody can do it, but you can do a mouth rinse with this and just brush your teeth, and it's a natural way of trying to keep it white in the end. Mm-hmm. So charcoal toothpaste, aloe vera toothpaste, quite like the leather ones. They are quite clean. And so you should not put anything in your mouth that you cannot eat, basically, isn't it? So trying to be mindful of the ingredients that this toothpaste may have.
So there wouldn't be much left on the market.
Yeah, like, I know. But yeah. You can do your, well, it's, as I said, there is something. You just need to look really for the nasty ingredients to see.
Perfect. Wow, wonderful. Well, Anna, thank you so much. It's been really great to hear your take on the dental health, and perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. I wish you all the best for your path of trying to make people aware of the importance of oral health, and really, I wish you well. I'm sure you will be very successful.
Thank you.